Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. I almost said good afternoon there. It's evening. Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And again, this is another one of those programs where there's just, you know, not much going on out there, is there? So we'll find something to talk about tonight, I'm sure. But I hope you'll stick with us, and like I said, join in the conversation. Let's open our program this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray that you would bless the program. Father, help us to be able to be a blessing to somebody this evening. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. Help us to help people to understand what's happening in the world around us in light of your word. Give us encouragement where we need it. Give us exhortation where we need that as well. And use us for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you here tonight. And as I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And I'd like to invite you to come out and visit us. If you don't have a church to visit in the area, you don't have a church to go to, looking for a church that preaches the Word of God, you're looking for a church where you can study and learn the Word of God and also ask questions about what's happening in the world around us right now and how it relates to the Bible and how the Bible relates to that, we'd like to invite you to come out and visit us. You can find out more information about me, links to our church and other things at our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you'll click there, you can also find links to our social media. And, you know, I've been a bad boy, so Facebook keeps face masking some of my things. Latest one was I put up a link to the video in Georgia that clearly shows people being asked to leave the counting facility. And then when they had everybody out, especially the Republicans, four Democrats that stayed behind, went over and started pulling ballots out from underneath the table, at least four boxes, I think. And they looked like those rolling suitcases. And I posted that in Facebook Farcebook fact checkers. Put a thing on there saying, oh, this is not what happened. It didn't happen. You can watch the video and you can see it happening. And don't think for a minute that just because Facebook fact checks something and says it didn't happen, that it's real. They have an agenda, and not going to delve too much into that right at the moment probably, but just enough to know they do have an agenda at Facebook. So go to our webpage, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can link from there to some other pages and social media, not the least of which, of course, is Parler.com. Parler.com. Parler is actually a little bit more like Twitter, I would say, on average, but it's got some similarities to Facebook as well. But Parler is a good alternative, especially to Twitter. And then USA.life, USA.life, great alternative to Facebook, as is MeWe. I was on MeWe a couple of years ago, and nothing was happening, and really didn't do much with it for a while, but started using it again more here in recent months, and it's really taking off now with the overall oppressive censorship of conservative and Christian viewpoints on Facebook. MeWe's really taken off, and like I said, MeWe. .com, and that's MeWe, MeWe, just like it sounds. And then USA.life, both of those are good Facebook alternatives. You can see others if you go to our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You also find linkage over to our home church, And you can find out more information about us there. And so we're just trying to, slowly, somehow or another, be able to get some of this stuff out and make it available to people. But, of course, you're listening right now, and we're here every Sunday night at 11 o'clock till midnight, as well as every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2 o'clock, and hope you'll continue to listen to us either on the air at 1220 AM, WHKW 1220, The Word, and or you can listen online. You can go to their website at whkwradio.com, or you can also click on our webpage at live@pastoral.com. Follow the links there. And when it works, I say when it works because when I'm doing this by myself, I don't always catch everything. But when it works, we have a YouTube feed as well. And so far as I know, the YouTube feed is currently working, and hopefully it is playing there. So if you go online, hopefully you'll be able to check us out there as well. So let's see, a couple of things I wanted to mention here before we get going. We've got some callers calling in, and again, reminder that you can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And you can join in the conversation here this evening. And before I get to our callers, I want to mention there are several things coming up here to keep in prayer. December 8th, I believe it is, Tuesday, is what they call the safe harbor date for states to certify their elections and electors to be selected. And there's a process that we're going through. It's a constitutional process. It's laid out in the Constitution as well as the 12th Amendment, the main part of the Constitution, and the 12th Amendment. 12th Amendment deals with the Electoral College in detail. And the Electoral College is who casts the votes for president on Election Day. We told our states who we want our states to vote for, and the process right now is certifying the state vote, and the legislature of each state is charged with selecting the electors based on the vote. And if they believe that the vote is in error, if they believe the vote has been tampered with or fraudulent or not reliable, they can select electors regardless of what the vote was. And there's some indications that that may happen in some states. Then on December 14th, the Electoral College will cast its ballots, and those ballots then will be transmitted to Washington, D.C., and after the first of the year, after the new Congress is seated, I believe it's on January 6th, the Congress will do a roll call of the states. And if either President Trump or Joe Biden gets 270 or more electoral votes, then they would be selected as our next president. Nobody has any electoral votes right now. Nobody is president-elect right now, despite the wacky setup that Joe Biden has, his little set that he gets at with the office of the President of the United States of America. No such office, no such designation, and he doesn't have it yet anyways. But now what happens on January 6th is each state, alphabetical order, casts their electoral votes. They give their electoral votes, and the House has to accept it. Now, I guess the House and the Senate will be in a joint session. Representative Mo Brooks has detailed how he plans on opposing the electoral vote in some of the states, which is his right to be able to do. A sitting senator and a sitting representative, I guess there has to be one representative, one senator at least, can oppose the vote, the electoral vote. And if it's opposed, Then they have to break. The Senate has to go back to their chamber. The House stays in its chamber, and they have to debate. I think they got like 2-3 hours to make a debate to decide whether or not they should accept the vote or not accept it. And that's the vote from a state. So let's say that the vote comes up for Georgia. That's being kind of contested right now, especially since one of the impounded Dominion voting system machines, they ran in to test it to see how accurate it was. They ran in an equal number of Trump ballots and an equal number of Biden ballots. Now, these are test ballots. These are not ballots for the election. They were testing the machine. They were testing how it recorded the results. So they put in an equal number of Trump ballots and an equal number of Biden ballots. Well, it should have been a tie, except that Biden won by 26%. Kind of interesting. They thought that's interesting. They repeated it, and it did it again. And what is it in the scientific method? You test and you repeat. And I guess they repeated a couple times. And each time, the Dominion voting system gave Biden 26% more votes when the same number of Biden votes were put in that Trump votes were put in. Folks, there's something wrong here with this system. So let's say that a representative and a senator, when Georgia attempts to deliver its electoral votes on to Congress on January 6th, says, wait a minute, we challenge those votes. They go back to their respective chambers, and in the chambers they say, well, look, we can't trust these votes. Look at these machines. We tested them. They're inaccurate. The vote is not reliable. Well, they come back and they won't accept Georgia's votes. So guess what? Georgia's electoral votes don't count towards president. If they can do that enough to where neither candidate gets 260 electoral votes, well, then there's another constitutional situation that comes in play. This also happens if on December 14th, the Electoral College is not able to submit 270 votes for any one or more for any one candidate. If they have a draw, or if I won't get into bog down the details right now, but suffice to say, on January 6th, there's no clear president-elect yet. So what do we do? Well, the Constitution, the 12th Amendment, stipulates that the U.S. House will vote for president. You say, well, wait a minute, there's more Democrats than there are Republicans in the House. Then Biden will win. No, it's not that type of a vote. It's a vote where every state gets one vote. Each state delegation, and I've heard some conflicting stories. One is that they have to vote on party lines. The other is they come together and you assume that whichever has the most Republicans would vote Republican, whichever has the most Democrats would vote for the Democrat. So, but at any rate, the fact of the matter is the one Republican representative from Wyoming, which is a red state, he can cast Wyoming's vote for Donald Trump. That one Republican will offset a dozen or so Democrats in California. And let's say the one Republican representative in Montana, and Montana's a red state as well, casts his vote, Montana's vote for Donald Trump. His one vote will cancel out a dozen or so Democrats in New York. You see how that works out? On the balance, more states are dominated by Republicans in their state delegation than are dominated by Democrats. I heard somebody estimate it was about 30 states would probably vote for Donald Trump, 20 states would vote for Joe Biden. That means that Nancy Pelosi, as Speaker of the House, the Democrat House, would preside over the Democrat House electing Donald Trump as president. I'd love to see that. I just can't imagine what Nancy Pelosi would do. Her head would probably explode. So that's an option that is very real at this point. It's very real. Will it happen? I don't know that it'll happen that way, but it is a possibility. Another possibility, and this is being floated in several circles, is that because there's such mistrust and uncertainty in the quality and the sanctity of the vote, that the Supreme Court could rule the entire federal election null and void. in which case, again, it goes back to the House to pick it. The House picks the president, and I did not include the fact that the Senate would then pick the vice president. And then we would be all set for January 20th, Inauguration Day. But what happens if everybody goes through and they push through this and people are still unsettled and nobody's certain and more than half of the country is upset and not trusting the vote? Another option, and Tom Zielkowski, the We the People Convention, published recently a full-page ad in the Washington Times, I believe it was, put a thing in there, another option, and it's been used in the past, most notably by President Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War, is a declaration of temporary martial law in which he would use the military to oversee a new federal election, not state elections, not local election, but a federal election, meaning presidential, as well as, if it's a federal election, I would assume the House and Senate would be featured in this election as well. And then the calls by Tom Z and others is that the military would oversee the vote. It would be paper ballots, no computer systems, hand-counted with bipartisan count and observation. And then they would do that in order to establish a vote that we could have confidence in. Will that happen? I don't know. But President Trump would have the authority to do that all the way up until the morning of January 20th. There's a lot more we could talk about that right now, but what I'm getting at is we live in monumental times, and we need to be praying for our country. We need to be praying for President Trump. We need to be praying for the future of our republic. We need to be praying that God would intercede on behalf of his people here. Remember, we have in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Friends, pray for our country. We're in a state right now. We need prayer. We need God's people to come together and pray and to lift up our country, lift up our president. I will be honest. I voted for President Trump. I support President Trump. I'd like to see him there for 4 more years. I believe that because he's been a friend and protector of Israel and the Jewish people, God will bless him for that. He has been a friend and defender of the unborn children. I believe God will bless him for that. He's been a friend and protector of the Christians. I believe God will bless him for that. And so this is why I would call on President Trump not to concede, but to take advantage of every legal opportunity at his disposal in order to protect this country, and that God can continue to use him to protect and watch out for Israel and the Jewish people, the unborn children, and Christians. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. We're going to get to our phones right now. The telephone number is 888-677-9673. We'll get to Tom here first. Tom, welcome to the program tonight.
Hey, Pastor Al, how you doing?
I am doing well, Tom. How about yourself?
Well, yeah, good. We traditionally kicked off the celebration of First Advent today. And so we're in that Christmas season honoring the birth of our Lord and Savior. And if all does not go well and the Lord has other plans, I'm looking into Zechariah 14:4 in that second advent when Jesus touches his feet, touched the Mount of Olives.
Well, and actually before that, I'm looking for the time when Jesus said, look up for your redemption draweth nigh, because we're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. Then we get to come back with him
Yeah.
When he touches his feet on the Mount of Olives.
It's my understanding, though, maybe I'm wrong, but they don't consider the rapture the second coming.
Well, yeah, and that's a good point. Let me share with you over here in Titus, the little book of Titus, chapter 2 here, I believe it is. And he says in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope.
Yeah,
then there's a comma. There's a comma there. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ is what you referred to when he sets foot on the Mount of Olives in Zechariah chapter 14,
Amen.
Revelation chapter 19. The blessed hope is what Paul talked about when he wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
Snatched away.
The catching away of the believers, yeah. And also he wrote about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And it's the blessed hope, because this is what we're hoping for before things get too bad. The Lord is going to catch us up.
I call it the great escape.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it too, especially when you look at some of the things happening. But it's clearly two separate things. But you know, you're talking about coming up, celebrating the birth of Christ. The second coming of the Lord reflects the first coming, or maybe I could say the first coming foreshadows the second coming in this sense.
Amen.
When Jesus came the first time and he was a babe laid in a manger, really very few people knew about it.
Oh, that's right.
It wasn't until he introduced himself in his ministry later on, when he began working miracles and declaring himself, you know, to be the Messiah, presenting himself as the Messiah, then the whole world took note of him. So in a sense, his first coming was in two parts, a sort of private thing that relatively few were aware of, and then a much more public portion of his ministry. And same way in the second coming, where the first phase is the catching away of the believers, where less people will know about it than when every eye sees him coming in the clouds at the second coming, when he sets down on the Mount of Olives.
Well, that's an interesting aspect.
Yeah. Remember, the angels told the disciples when they watched Jesus ascend up into heaven, they said he's going to come back again in the same way that he left. But it also kind of makes us look at his life and the things that he did. So there was kind of a private appearing of Christ and then a public appearing.
Mm-hmm. Well, he doesn't leave the saints in the dark, does he?
No, and he said that we're not in the darkness there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 5.
We're walking with Jesus, and his spirit is one with ours. We're walking in the light.
Yeah, I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I think it said 2nd, yeah.
Well, I'm going to get off here pretty quick, but I just wanted to say I agree with everything you said earlier about with your introduction there. And we are praying very heartily here for Donald Trump, because, like you said,
Amen.
And I remind the Lord every day. I said, Lord, remember how Donald Trump? I saw him over there at the Wailing Wall, and
mm-hmm.
he was kissing the wall. He had a yarmulke on, and I said he was blessing your people, Lord. And your promise is that those who bless Israel shall I bless. So
that's right.
I reminded the Lord that.
Exactly.
But we got to hold him up in prayer. But no, you're absolutely right. It's very serious right now, and I think a lot of Christians, maybe other people, are starting to wake up to the fact that we're in very serious water here. And I
mm-hmm.
think that if, especially if those Senate seats go down, it'll just be like breaking loose here, won't it?
Well, that's why we have to pray and we have to be involved. And let me give you a good piece of information that I read this weekend. Barna, the pollster, did a survey of what he calls SAGE cons. That's socially active government. What's the E stand for?
Yeah,
government something.
Yeah.
I can't remember the E now. Conservatives. And it's Christians, governmentally engaged, socially active, governmentally engaged conservatives, Christians. SageCon Christians, basically, is what he's talking about. In the last presidential election, about 93, 94% of them voted for Donald Trump. I mean, I showed up and voted for him. And, you know, they showed him huge numbers, and that's what the Lord used to help bring him into office. And Barna back then said, oh, boy, this is an incredibly high number. We'll probably never see this again. Guess how many of the Sage Cons or what percentage of them voted for Donald Trump in this last election?
Go ahead. I can't.
99%.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely unprecedented.
Well, I know my lovely little bride was with me, and we cast our vote, right on down the line for the conservative vote. But our primary concern was to get there and cast a vote for the Trump-Pence team.
So. Amen. Amen.
So listen, God bless, and have a good night. Thanks for taking my call, and I'll listen to the rest of the show.
Well, thank you, Tom, and good to hear from you tonight.
Okay.
And appreciate that. God bless.
Good night.
Thank you. And you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call. We're going to take a break in just less than a minute. So we've got two people waiting as well. So we'll hold them over until after the break. So I don't want you to go anywhere. And do encourage you to check us out online, livewithpastoral.com, livewithpastoral.com. If you've had trouble finding us on Facebook, it may be because my Facebook page has been limited, restricted in its dispersion by Facebook because I've been a bad boy posting things that Big Brother doesn't like. So check out some of our social media, livewithpastoral.com. Stay tuned. We got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Invite you to check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can also follow us on social media if you'll go there to our webpage or to our our webpage there at livewithpastoral.com. There's a list of some of our social media that we're using, and you might have trouble finding us on Facebook. Facebook gets mad when you post things they don't like. I guess that's enough said about that. But also want to remind you that we're brought to you tonight not only by the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, and you can link to our church there at the website at livewithpastoral.com as well, but also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. They're located at 4889 Turney Road, which is right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School, and you can call them for pickup. I think they're only doing pickup right now. 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Mention that you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. All right, we're going to get back to our phones, and we have got Dave calling in right at the moment. And Dave, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, yeah, good evening. How you doing, sir?
Good evening. I am doing well. How about yourself?
Not too bad. I was just listening at the beginning, and I wasn't paying close enough attention. Did you say that they predict that if they ran the machines again, there would be a 26% differential in what should have been, or did they already do that?
They already did that, apparently. It just came out today. I just saw it today they tested it. They had a machine. It was one of the Dominion Voting Systems machines that they used in Georgia as well as in a number of other states. And so they tested the machine to see, you know, how it worked. And they ran an equal number of Trump ballots through and an equal number of Biden ballots through. And it gave 26% more votes to Biden than what he actually had. And they repeated it, I guess, several times. Same results.
Oh, they repeated it several, like you said, for consistency. And
So that makes the vote count highly suspicious to me. Anybody that used the Dominion system,
right? Was that used in several battleground states, do you think?
That was used in Michigan. It was used in Pennsylvania, I believe. I believe it was used in Wisconsin. I think it was used in Nevada and Arizona. There's a number of states. I know that Texas refused to use them because they consider them unreliable. I don't believe Ohio or Florida used them. But there's quite a few states, and even if you just removed a few key states that use the Dominion system and said we cannot consider their vote reliable, therefore we won't accept the electoral votes from those states, that would deprive either Joe Biden or Donald Trump of a 270 majority in the Electoral College, which means that the U.S. House in January will vote on state lines to select the president of the United States, and then the U.S. Senate will also vote in order to select the vice president.
So that would be what you're describing as the each state legislature.
Correct.
A total of one vote toward.
Well, not each legislature. It's their congressional delegation. Okay. Even though there's more Democrats in Washington D.C. in the Congress than there are Republicans. Because each state only gets one vote, you know, a dozen Democrats in New York would be offset by the one Republican in Montana, and a dozen Democrats in California would be offset by the one Republican in Wyoming. And when you look at that on a state-by-state basis, you find that more states are dominated in their congressional delegation by Republicans than Democrats. It's just that some of the big Democrat states like California and New York have just so many delegates, or so many representatives, I should say, that they overwhelm the smaller Republican states such as Arizona and Montana and Idaho and in North Dakota, South Dakota, states that might only have one or two representatives, period.
Yeah. But I mean, it levels the playing field in the situation.
Absolutely.
The states with the heavy population centers can't bully the other small.
And that's
Wyoming
the design. That's exactly right. You're exactly right. That was the design of the people who put together our country. That's the founding fathers' design. They had a problem with the election, and I believe it was 1800. And that's why they came together and they tried to play out different scenarios, and they came up with this solution. And that's why I encourage people, read the 12th Amendment in the United States Constitution. It's kind of interesting. And, you know, it does make you think. It does make you wonder. And this would not be the first time that we went to the House to pick the president rather than using the electors.
So it's been done before. That was Aaron Burr and Thomas Jefferson in 1800, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Thomas
Jefferson and let's see, it was I'm trying to think. There was two, I think, actually. Right at the moment, I can't think of exactly the dates and the times. I don't have that in front of me, but it is on the internet. People search it; they should be able to find out some more of the information on it.
And which individual or group of people decides? Okay, we got to go to where the state legislature gets one vote and do that system. How do we know when that takes place?
Well, that takes place if they're not able to get a sufficient majority of electoral votes. And the Electoral College, their delegates, you know, meet in the respective states on December 15th and cast their votes. Those votes are then transmitted to the House in Washington, D.C., and they are accepted on a state-by-state basis on, I believe it'll be January 6th this year. So even when the Electoral College votes on December 15th, that's not binding or official until the Congress accepts it on January 6th.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, but I'm just kind of hoping, you know, praying that it goes to that. What's your hunch? Do you think the Electoral College, did you say the electoral votes or the Electoral College will decide that on December 14th?
Or December 14th, I think I said 15th. Yeah, December 14th is the Electoral College cast their votes. The Electoral College is the term that's given to the electors of the various states. And they cast their votes, and that's where normally we consider the selection of the president to take place. Because when we vote on Election Day, we're telling our state who to vote for. It's just like in the primary. If you voted in the primary election, for instance, for Donald Trump, and he had just the highest, I think, ever vote in the primary of a sitting president seeking re-election of his party for the primary. I think it's like 95% or higher. And so what we did in the primary is we told our party who to vote for at the convention for the candidate that we want to run. And then in November, we voted for, you know, who we want our state to vote for in the Electoral College. So the Electoral College then votes, and then the U.S. House will have to receive those votes and consider them on January 6th. If no candidate has the majority, which would amount to 270 rather, electoral votes. If no candidate has the majority, then it goes automatically by the United States Constitution. The 12th Amendment says that the House will then automatically take that vote where each state gets one vote. And so that likely would elect Donald Trump right there. And then the Senate will elect the vice president.
And what's your hunch? Do you think that either candidate will on December 14th will get that 270, or do you think there'll be so much controversy that they'll resort to the other way that the founders came up with for, you know, the state legislature or whatever electorate?
I think that some of the stuff that's been turned up you know, such as these election machines that are giving 26% more votes to Biden than to Trump, and the thousands of people, hundreds of people, if not thousands of people who have come forward giving credible information about voter fraud, election fraud, manipulation, fake ballots, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. These things, you know, where vast numbers of people, 120 years old, all voted for Joe Biden and nobody else, nothing else on the ticket. You know, it's always amazing that people who were born on January 1st in 1900, you know, came out of their deathbed, I guess, as I would think somebody 120 years old wouldn't be, almost 121, wouldn't be doing too good. And they only had enough strength to vote for one, just to make one mark on their ballot, and that was for Joe Biden. Amazing.
I mean, so much appears to be fraud.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, and what can we do to help as citizens? Can you any suggestions to help Donald Trump on that? Or?
Well, I think that encouraging emails are always good to President Trump to you know, let him know that we're with him. But certainly prayers. That's what I said in 1 Timothy chapter 2 there, where it talks about praying. And I think that's one of the most important things that we can do, because he said to make prayers for all men and for kings and for all that are in authority, and that we may lead quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, and also so that the word of God can go forward and people can hear the gospel and get saved. And so that's the big thing that we can do right there. And then the other thing is, I think, talk to people, because I've noticed in just the last week, to me, it seems like more people are expressing doubt in the sanctity of the election than a week ago. People,
I mean, it just seems to me like, even if I was a Democrat and I had voted for Biden, I'm thinking, I just don't like the vibes and the feeling this election's given off. And I really wouldn't want my candidate to win by cheating, you know?
Well, there's a number of Democrats that are starting to express those feelings.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
we need to pray.
I know you want to talk to some other callers, but
yeah, we'll get
it
to...
sort of reinforces my mind that I tell my friends as much as possible, you've got to vote in the primaries. Don't just vote in the big
Exactly, guys. Yeah. We've got to get involved and stay involved, not just the presidential election, but the primaries and also the midterm elections and your local elections. God's people got to get involved. If we're not involved, we shouldn't complain. Yeah. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, sir.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate that.
Thanks a lot. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you very much. God bless. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Nancy, I think, has been waiting the longest, I believe. Nancy, welcome. Do we have Nancy? All right. We'll get to Terry. We'll catch Nancy here in a few minutes, I guess. So, Terry, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Hi, good evening.
It's always good to hear from you.
Well, it's good to hear from you as well, Terry. And
I've said this before, but I love you, brother.
I love you calling in and love the input that you have and love your testimony. That's for sure.
I have a bit of a testimony and that I had problems with, and I was going to bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but before I say that, though, I was going to say you can blame Toronto for that Dominion voting system.
Well, you know, I mean, Canada's got a lot of good things to offer, but I can't at this point say Dominion was one of them.
But you can blame us for that, anyway. And I was going to say something real quick, too, about that.
And for our listeners, Terry's in Canada, so.
Yeah, and if Nancy, if Donald Trump gets in, Nancy Pelosi will have to tear up his script again.
I just, you know, if nothing else, couldn't imagine anything more fun than watching Nancy Pelosi preside over the Democrat majority House electing Donald Trump as president.
Yeah,
just that just in my mind, I see her head exploding. So,
well, anyway, I've been doing a Bible study tonight. If you could turn to, before you read this, though, I got a little bit of a testimony. This is a problem that I've had in my life, and it's a taboo subject. But if you can turn to Matthew chapter 6.
Matthew 6? Matthew 6, 22?
Matthew 6, verse 22.
All right, let me get
through. Before you read that, Before you read that, I was going to mention a few things that I've been studying tonight. It'll take me about a minute to read it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the thing that I've been studying is, I'll have to read it. It's not quite in order, but celibacy, asexuality, the battle against sexual immorality,
mm-hmm.
porn easily accessible on the internet, grieving the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, debauchery, premarital sex. That's what I've been studying.
Mm-hmm.
And this scripture pretty well, if we have these problems, if we have those sexual problems in our life, this scripture pretty well sums it up somewhat. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 22.
Right. You want me to read it?
Yes, sure.
Yeah. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?
Right. And, you know, that I had a hard time understanding the Word of God because I had this kind of darkness in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that this is a very serious matter that I've been
bringing up. Yeah, and I was going to say, when you think about this, the prevalence and the ease of accessing pornography with the internet is incomprehensible just about to the older generation, because people growing up before the internet, you had to make efforts in order to get pornography. It was not, you know, just available so easy. Whereas today, you have to make the efforts to avoid it, because it'll be on your computer screen without you even looking for it sometimes.
It's sad. Even young kids can get a hold of it.
Yeah. Well, I read something back in the 90s that said that young people, and this is back in the 90s, that young people were exposed to more pornography by the time that they reached, you know, 20 or so than their grandparents, you know, saw in their entire life.
Yes.
And now I would have to say that young people probably see more and exposed to more pornography by the time they're 10 years old than their parents or grandparents had seen in their entire life.
So. Yeah, I forgot the other thing that I was studying. Licentiousness. Oh, now I can't say it. Licentiousness.
Licentiousness.
Yeah, that's another problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, just because we have the Holy Spirit, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, we have Him, but that's why the Bible said to be filled. And unfortunately, a lot of people misunderstand. You receive the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. Paul wrote in Romans that if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. You can't be saved without having the Holy Spirit in you. And so when you get saved, you automatically receive the Holy Spirit, who seals you until the day of redemption. But you don't always allow Him to fill every moment of your life,
right.
Every aspect of your life, and that's the challenge.
Yeah, I know you have Nancy on the phone.
Yeah,
or I don't know if you have her back.
Yeah, she's. I think she's back and ready to go. So.
Yeah, so I'll just let you go so you can talk to her. But the subject that maybe we can continue next week, maybe possibly.
Yeah, we can touch on some of these things.
Or you could talk about it before the show starts, or whatever you'd like.
Yeah, and there's some passages too, and I don't know that I have time to look them up all right now, but I believe it was Job that said, "I will not look on a woman," meaning to lust after her. And Jesus warned that if a man looks at a woman and lusts after her in her heart, he's already guilty of sin. And even David said, "I will put no evil thing before my eye," and that ties in with this, because if we allow ourselves to be filled with this, it's going to put a darkness in us that conflicts with the Spirit of God trying to work through us. So it's a real struggle, isn't it? Yeah.
There's 44 Bible verses people could look up. It's called About the Eyes of Knowing Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I can look that up on the internet. There's a lot of scriptures.
Yeah. All right. Well, Terry, I'm going to let you go so I can get to Nancy here, because I'm going to run out of time here. So, But and thank you for bringing that up. I know a lot of people, you know, they need to read that, study that, and allow the Holy Spirit to guide them in that area. Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you. You know, a lot of your discussion with Dave, he said a lot of the same things and had almost the same questions I did. I felt like I was a part of your program because, you know, everything that he discussed and you mentioned was mm-hmm. in there. But the thing that I really think is really exciting is that you mentioned Friday night at your usual excellent Bible study about the possibility of Trump declaring martial law the morning of December 20th if all these other options failed, that Tom Z mentioned, you know, We the People Convention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that have a whole new election with paper ballots. So it'd be, but you know, this new news that you just revealed tonight, which I had never heard, 26% more votes go to Biden than Trump, even if an equal number of votes are put into these very suspicious Dominion voting machines. To me, mm-hmm. that just in and of itself should just, would it be the Supreme Court that would decide, because these Dominion voting machines are so immoral?
I got about 3 minutes. I was going to say, yeah, the Supreme Court hopefully would weigh in and say, we've just got to void the election or void any electors, you know, not accept any electors from any state that use these systems. And that would send it, of course, to the House for a House vote on January 6th. But even if the Supreme Court does not weigh in on it, that's where Tom Z was suggesting that if they don't follow the 12th Amendment process there, that a limited martial law setting aside the Constitution for a short period of time to conduct a fair vote that can be trusted would be the way to go.
Oh, okay. So if the Supreme Court did not agree that, you know, the whole election mm-hmm. was a fraud, then that would be their last option.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's still not the last option, because Representative Mo Brooks, I think he's from Alabama, was laying out a plan where each state's electoral votes can be challenged in the House on January 6th. And if they disallow enough electors on January 6th, they disallow enough states' votes, then that would throw it to the House vote as well. So that would probably be the last chance for any of this to take place, would be probably about January 6th. And I think it would be better to, if he was going to do the martial law route, to do that prior to the morning of January 20th, I think it'd probably be better. But there's people who know what the law says, know what the Constitution says, and they are studying this, I'm sure, right now as we speak. So that's where we simply need to pray for those people. We need to pray for President Trump. We need to pray for our country, as I said there, according to 1 Timothy chapter 2.
And also 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Yes, and God's people certainly need to turn back to God and confess our sin and seek His face, don't we? So,
thank you. Well, excellent program. I always, such a blessing to hear Tom, which is really great to hear him.
Well,
he has such a way with words.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling in tonight, Nancy. I appreciate that. And thank you for plugging our Bible study. We have a Bible study every Friday night at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. We are still meeting, and we are enjoying fellowship and looking at the scriptures together. So you can find out more about that at our website, livewithpastoral.com. We're out of time tonight. Thank you for listening. Don't give up. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com.